what is a spirit? Like those images we see, like where you see like an angel, like looking like a person with the wings. Is that like a real thing? Is that just paintings? The devil, right? It's like in movies, he's painted out to be, you know, sometimes like a real, you know, dangerous looking person. But then it's like he's also a fallen angel. So I'm like, is it really something to like we should like as Christians kind of like be fearful of? Is he like somebody like we should kind of like, you know, like be fearful. Worried about? Like his team, the demons, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? Like, all right, so let's do it. So welcome to the Get Into the Truth podcast, where in a world full of noise, it's so important that we all have truth that we can stand on. This week, we have one of the wisest people that I've met as far as spirituality goes, Kim Hubbard, here to discuss spirituality in general. So I got, just so like, you know, like I just told you, I have so many different questions. So like, just for starters, like just to get the conversation like level set, what is a spirit?
A spirit is a being.
A being.
A being.
So break this down.
It is that simple. So when we look at scripture and we look at the word of God, we can start in Genesis. Really, I think Genesis 1:27, where God says, let us make man in our image.
Okay.
We know that from the beginning, before man was ever created, there's God and God is spirit.
Okay.
He's a being. And okay. So when he said, let us make man in our image, it was like an impression or a copy of him. Mm. And so a spirit is a being, an image, a copy, an impression of God.
So then every human is a spirit? Like, does everyone have a spirit?
Correct. So three-part being.
Okay. Because
we're a copy of God. So he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay. We have
Yahweh, Yeshua, and the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
And so likewise, it's us, except for we have a body, like a physical body, like a hand and a foot. We have our soul, which is our personality, our likes, our dislikes, things that make us happy, things that make us mad. And then we have our spirit, which is perfect, always in tune with God. That's what was with God. And the word of God also talks about us being seated in heavenly places. So our spirit is also seated in heavenly places. So it's kind of cool because we're here on earth walking around, but we're also seated in heaven simultaneously.
Really?
Yes.
Everyone?
Everyone.
Believer, well, non-believer. We all.
Well. Once you say yes to Jesus, then yes.
Okay, so then, yeah. All right. So you're breaking down a lot right now. So let me unpack it all. So, okay, so first off, you're saying that everybody has a, like, physical body.
Yes.
Everybody has a soul, which is, like, who they are as an individual. Like, their personality, like, yeah, like, just, like, their individuality, I guess you could say.
Exactly.
Okay. And then you have spirits, and like that person has a spirit too, which is essentially like, I guess, their being, which is like
the impression of God.
The impression of God. Okay. So then if everyone has a spirit, is everyone's spirit like a unique thing?
Yes.
Okay.
So, just as we are unique and our fingerprints are unique and, you know, there's really not two of us, even twins have different fingerprints, our spirits are the same. They're all different. Like, God did not create robots and replicas of each other. He created us each different. We're all created in the image of God, but at the same time, just so uniquely, we're all beautifully and wonderfully made. He just has this amazing creative mind and makes everything special and unique, but at the same time by kind.
Yeah.
And we see that in the story of Noah, you know, like two by two by their kind. So whether it was like, you know, mammals, amphibians, cephalopods, you know, by their kind. Same with us, like our kind is human, but we're all different. We all have different callings that are, you know, embedded in like our spirit, embedded in our DNA. We all have different, you know, assignments that we're going to complete. We all have different things. So no one is the same, but at the same time, we are kind of the same.
Yes. I think what's interesting about this is like, one, like, this is kind of hard to grasp because it's like, this seems like, it could seem like just like a story, like a Disney Pixar movie, you know what I mean? Because
right.
It's like, yo, like, wait, on? Like, wait. Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? So, like, all right. So, like, in media, right, we'll see, like, angels where they have, like, wings and, like, things like that. Is that something that like is like those images we see, like where you see like an angel like looking like a person with the wings. Is that like a real thing? Is that just paintings?
Yes and no. So like the baby angels with the wings on the cloud, that is not a thing.
Oh wow.
So I'll just tell you that right now. Though that is not a thing. But just like we were talking about how God is just so amazing and how unique he's made all of us, but yet we're the same. It's kind of the same with angels. And angels are actually grouped in tribes. And we see that the Lord loves tribes. There's the 12 tribes of Israel. And so angels are kind of grouped in tribes by their kind. So you might have, you know, some angels that are winged. You might have some angels that are not winged that, you know, might look like you and I. And, you know, the scripture that comes to mind is, you know, concerning hospitality, you know, you never know when you might be entertaining an angel unaware. Those ones don't have wings. They look like you and I. There are angels that are smaller. There are angels that are larger. I mean, God has angels that are, you know, 10 foot, 15 foot, 30 foot. He has angels that are the size of skyscrapers and planets. And yet we have the nerve to be concerned about a light bill, you know? So he's got all of this. I mean, we've got to take the, you know, our God out of the box and just allow him to blow our minds with some of these things. So they're all angels, but they're all kind of specialized. And, you know, there's different kinds. There's warfare angels, there's intercessory angels, there's scribe angels, there's messenger angels. And they all are kind of grouped as, you know, their kind. There's not just one, there's many messengers. There's not just one warring angel, there's many warring angels, but they're all angels.
And so like, this is where a lot of my questions come, because like, I've seen so many different things, right? So, like, one, like, I've seen, of course, like, just general media of, like, the babies with the wings. And then I've seen even, like, Christian movies where you'll see, like there's the story of, who was it? Like, David and, no, not David. Man, there's a story of Sarah and Abraham. Mm-hmm. And they're getting ready to have their baby. And there was, like, angels, from my understanding, that came to them to deliver the message of you're going to have a baby.
Yes.
Am I, I'm right with this?
You're right on.
So then in the movies, right? The angels are people. Where it's just literally like people walking up to them like, and I'm like, wait, so like are angels angels that we can't see or angels people?
Angels are not people. Angels may take on a form that look like people, but they are not people. So I've heard, you know, for years, like, oh, you know, when you die, you're going to be an angel, or, you know, oh, this person, my niece is my little angel. No, they're not. They are them. They are a person. This is not an angel. But they can take on the form of an angel. And, you know, even I'm reminded of the story of Lot and Abraham, where the angels came and said, hey, you guys got to get out. God's about to destroy the city. Grab your family and get out. And, you know, the men, the city was so wicked, they wanted to sleep with the angels because they looked, they took on a human form. But that's not all the angels. That's only a small portion of what the angels actually look like. And when we're talking about, you know, warfare and the host of heaven, those angels look incredibly scary. They don't look nice. They're built for war. They look crazy. They're huge. And they, you know, some of them look like lions. Some of them have, you know, crazy faces that might look deformed, to be honest, for whatever purpose. And so they just look so different, just like we look so different. None of them look the same within their tribes. Yes. But none of them look the same. So it's not wrong for movies to depict, you know, angels as people. But it's important to remember or to consider that that is not the end all be all.
That's not the end all be all. And it's interesting. It's interesting because it's like, when I hear this, like, for one, like, I have a thousand questions of like this world. But before I even get into those questions, I just want to kind of like, because what you're saying, I do remember. Like, I remember in the Bible, like, there's moments where like you'll hear like this. I don't even know if they're describing angels per se, but it'd be like there's six heads, two wings, four legs, and it'd be like. And whenever I'm reading them, to be honest, it's like I kind of read it from a perspective of like, okay, I suppose, and I just keep reading.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I guess I'm trying to like qualify like all of this because I know for a fact you've been studying this, you got this information, like, and like you can really break down like what's happening on the spiritual, and I think. I just don't want people to hear this and be like, thinking of it like, oh, she's talking Pixar, she's talking Disney. I don't consider this as like real life. So for you, when did you get to a point where you were like, you know what? Whoa, like, this it's not just the world I see, but it's also like the world that we may not be able to see per se, but like the spiritual world. Like, when did you get to a point where this became a reality for you? Because to be honest, like, people will read the Bible and say, like, this is what I believe, but then they'll kind of pick and choose like certain areas to really dig deep into, and certain areas to kind of like say, all right, I suppose. So when did you get to that point where you were like, you know what, whoa, like, it's not just this world that I see, but there's also this spiritual world? Because clearly you're serious about this. So like, I just want, you know what I mean? I'm trying to get on your page right now.
So what's happened several times. So one thing, and it's nothing to do with me, it just has to do with what the Lord gifted me with and what he's called me to. I didn't ask. Well, I did ask for it, actually. When I went on a study about spiritual gifts, I was like, Lord, what other gift you have, I want all of it. Like, I'm going to be selfish with this. Like, I want every single thing. Like, I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I could have had ears to hear or eyes to see. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I could have had all this revelation that would have helped me while I'm here. You know, so I was like, no, Lord, whatever you have, I want it. And I was just really hungry and just spent a lot of time studying, a lot of time praying. And when you do that, it builds up your inner man and you actually begin to see a lot more. And then as I continued to study, as I continued to pray, as I continued to grow, it became clearer and clearer. And so the Lord enhanced those giftings, enhanced my spiritual senses as I, you know, wanted to seek it out, wanted to know, and then he just showed me more.
Wow. So like, I'm not going to lie. So like, I'm like torn. So when I say that, what I'm saying is like, on one end, like, when I'm hearing this, I'm like, your experience is like something that like I just personally haven't experienced. So when you break this down, it's hard for me to like be like, I resonate.
Yeah.
But then on another end, when reading the Bible, you see all these stories of like the prophets who everybody was like, yo, like, you're going crazy.
The prophets are tripping.
And then when you really read this, it's like, wait, oh, they were the ones who were right the whole time.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's like, so knowing all of that, I'm just like, whoa, you know what I mean? So then, all right. So then with all that considered, like, what would you say is like, are like some things that help? Because you actually not only like have been studying this, but you're actually teaching this consistently. What would you say like are some of the things that like help make this more of a reality for people? You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to get like more on your page. You know what I mean? Because, you know, because it's like, I want it, like, but just so you know, like, there's certain, we're in agreement at the same time. Like, I understand, like, yo, like, clearly, like, if we're talking about going to heaven, like, it's not just like a, like something that like clearly we've seen yet, and so I get the general gist. And to be honest, like, we're gonna get into like spiritual warfare and things that like I can even personally say, like, I can resonate with.
Yeah.
But what you're describing now is really on, like, another level right now. So I'm just like, as you've been kind of, like, breaking these things down to people, what are, like, the points or, like, just, like, things that, like, when you've said it's, like, clicked with people enough where they start to take this kind of seriously? Because, to be honest, I think that when you hear verses like, this is not a fight against just flesh and blood, but it's a fight against principalities, and you know the verse.
Yes.
With that verse, it's like, I do think the more that people could consider this as a reality, although you can't see it, it's a reality, the more people would actually like take it seriously and have it get to a point where it actually changes their actions. So what are some things that you've broken down that have helped people be like, I see what you're saying.
I think a lot of it starts with hunger.
Mm.
How bad do you want it? Are you okay being a mediocre Christian? Like, how bad do you want it? And then some people just don't know. You know what I mean? Like, people have been raised in church their whole life and have never heard of deliverance. You know, so I understand that. But once you've heard it, so if you hear what I'm saying and then you're like, what in the world? You know, how bad do you want it? Because the same information that's available to me is available to you. Mm. And so once, you know, you are... It piques your interest. Once it hits you in that way, then pursue it. And it's available. I mean, God is no respecter of persons, number one. Number two, he wants his kids to be able to experience all of this. All it's going to do is help advance the kingdom of God. there's no bad side to knowing these things or being able to see or speak in tongues or prophesy. There's no bad side to any of that. And so I think hunger comes a long way. Over the years, I've had people say, yeah, it sounds kind of cool, but honestly, I don't want to see in the spirit because I don't want to see bad stuff. Well, then you won't. If you don't want to see it, then you won't. You know?
And is that okay?
It is okay.
Okay.
And it might come back around later in life, you know, but if you want to know why maybe you're not, it's because you haven't exactly like, and I'm not saying you personally.
Yeah, no, but I see what you
say,
yeah.
But for people, it's like, well, maybe you've said that before. Maybe you've said, well, I'll take this, but I don't want that. So you're not getting the fullness.
Mm, well, you broke it down. I see what you're saying. So then, okay. All right. So then, I hear what you're saying, but even with that said, I do think that there are certain things that like we all should kind of be aware of, right? Because like, yeah, there's that one verse where it's like, we don't fight against flesh and blood and we fight against the principalities. And I did get a chance to be blessed by your class. And being in that class, you broke something down that actually like really resonated with me well. You said, hey, like, it's never a fight against people, but it's a fight against basically like evil. Like it's a fight against what's happening on like where we can't see things. And I feel that because like at the end of the day, like I could get mad at someone like for doing something wrong to me, but am I really mad at who that person is in God, or am I just mad at what has influenced that person to act that way? Right. You know what I mean? So like on one end, yeah, like everybody doesn't got to see angels, but then on another end, there is like certain fundamentals that like we got to know. And I like how you're saying, okay, one, yo, you're not just what you physically see, but you have a soul, which is your individual personality, and you have your spirit, which is really what is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what is like eternal. Yeah. It was before you, it was here before you were alive, and it's here after. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so for those who are like, just to qualify that statement, for those who are wondering like, yo, like, does the Bible even talk about spirits? Like, where is this in the Bible that says like, yo, like, spirits are a thing, like, yeah. Like you're not just I don't know, like just what you see, but you're a spirit. And I mean, I think just personally, it's a little obvious just in the fact that God's saying, hey, like you're going to heaven, and like you're gonna live like a long life, like your life is everlasting and never going to end. And we've seen people physically die, so if God's saying that, clearly there's something else to it. But just for those who like are just the where is this in the Bible type of people, where is this in the Bible? Just so that people can be like, all right, oh what, oh dang, you know what I mean? I see what she's saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we'll start with God. We'll start with where the Bible says that God is a spirit. So let me find that in my notes really quick.
Oh yeah. So, but God is a spirit, though.
God is a spirit.
Okay.
Yes.
And while you're looking it up, so then, so God not only is a spirit, but my understanding is that Jesus was essentially the physical, I don't want to say birth, but the physical expression of God's spirit.
Yes.
Okay.
He is one third of the Trinity.
And by Trinity, what you're saying, because this is like, mind-blowing, hard to grasp the thing.
Yeah.
What you're saying is God's spirit has ever been here. Like if there's one thing that's always been, it's God's spirit.
Yes.
And then essentially, at a point in time on earth, God's spirit inhabited Jesus, the physical body, to express itself as a person on earth with a purpose.
I would say,
break it down, please.
I would say that, yes, God is eternal.
Okay.
There is no beginning or end with him. He just exists. It's a state. He is a spirit and a state of being. I would say that Jesus, before he came to the earth, at that point, when I say they, I mean Father, Son, and Spirit, mm-hmm. Yahweh, Yeshua, and the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. they decided on the plan to redeem man. Mm. And that plan involves the Son, a portion of the Trinity, which is Jesus, Yeshua, coming to earth. Yes. So Jesus was spirit before that, but God said, hey, what we made is beautiful, but there's going to be some bumps on the road. I need you to go and redeem all of my kids, redeem all those who will say, you know, yes to you. I'm going to clothe you with flesh. And I would say that more as opposed to, you know, Jesus being spirit and then not. He's still spirit because he's still part of the Trinity. He still has triune himself, but he was just clothed with flesh so that he could come here and, you know, live and operate as a man on earth, needing to sleep, needing to eat, needing to drink, all of those things.
Huh. So then this is interesting because that is like, so like my understanding of the Trinity has all, I never really like separated the spirits. I kind of always was like, it's one spirit in different ways. But essentially what you're saying is kind of like, it's the spirit of God, the spirit of Jesus, and the spirit of the Holy Ghost, kind of like all in one, but like separate in their own different ways.
Yes. So if I had something that had like dimension, like say this is Father.
Okay.
This is Son.
Okay.
This is the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
They're three in one, but they can step outside of each other. But they're one.
But they're still one.
Yes.
Okay. 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 So then, all right. So then, so that's God and that's Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit is essentially, and this is, please slap me, correct me, let me know. But my perspective is the Holy Spirit is like what is left with us on earth today. So like after Jesus then like ascended back to heaven on the right hand of God, like fighting for us, and all that, we then have the Holy Spirit to access for like guidance and like heavenly perspective on like how to approach life. So like when people say like I heard from God, or like I don't know, like do this on Tuesday instead of do that on Tuesday. Yep. It might be something that like the Holy Spirit revealed to them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. It's the impression of God on the inside of us once we say yes to Jesus, once we've been born again.
Mm.
And yes, he's the comforter. He's the one who leads us and guides us in all truth. He's the one that says, go this way and not that way. He's the one that says, you better not curse them out. He's the one that says, you know, like, do this, do that. He's leading us and he's guiding us and he's constantly talking. He's not quiet at all. For me personally, I when they talk, I know who's speaking. I know when, you know, the Father has a very different sound and tone than the Son does. And the Son has a very different sound and tone than the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit sounds very different from the others. So just spending a lot of time with them, I've been able to learn to discern who's speaking. And then sometimes they are all speaking together. So the three in one, but yes, it's the Holy Spirit who is here. He dwells on the inside of us, helps us with the day to day, you know, like you're okay. I'm going to wake you up because your alarm's not going to go off. Like, so yeah, get up.
Which has happened to me many times. Thank God.
Right. Okay. So one scripture that we can reference is Galatians 5:16-17, which says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So in that one sentence, God is distinguishing between the two. He's like, there's flesh and there's spirit. So don't mix the two. The flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that what you are not to do whatever you want. So here's one example where God himself is acknowledging you have a spirit, but you also have flesh, and those two don't like each other.
Mm.
And he tells you that straight up, like, look,
oh, yeah.
It's going to be some conflict. So don't listen to your flesh. You need to walk in the spirit. Another scripture we can reference too, another scripture we can kind of look to is 1 Thessalonians 4:17. After that, we who are alive and are yet will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. So if we just deduce a little bit, we know that our physical bodies with blood running through our veins cannot do that.
Yeah.
It's not possible to do that. So it can't be talking about that portion of our being. So the only other option or options would be either our spirit or our soul to be able to be with the Lord forever. And so there's a time thing there. So we know it's not going to be our flesh. We know that our bodies are going to die. But our soul and our spirit, which now kind of war against each other, after we move to heaven or graduate to glory or however you want to put it, our soul and our spirit, they stay together and then they become friends because they're perfect.
Really?
So there's a whole transition. You're still going to be you when you get to heaven. People are going to know you as you were because they're going to know, like, you know, oh yeah, like, you know, he loved Chinese food and didn't really care for Mexican food. Like, let's go over to this restaurant, you know? So we're going to know that. And so your physical body is not in the equation when it comes to your spirit, you know, existing and living forever. And we see here again, you know, the word of God is acknowledging this. The word of God is acknowledging that you will be forever with the Lord. So either we're going to stand on the premise that the word of God is true or it's not. And then from that, we can deduce, like, okay, so if we're going to live forever, we clearly that's not our physical bodies now. We only have two other parts to us, which is soul and spirit. That must mean that our spirit and our souls will be able to live forever. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does.
I think I got off a little bit.
No, but I have 1,000 other questions, but I'm trying to keep it focused. Well, but okay, I might as well just throw a couple out.
Yeah.
So for one, right? So like, what you're saying, does that mean? Well, I love the fact that like, our soul and our spirit are going to heaven, because when I think about just the spirit, I'm like, okay, so do I have a personality in heaven, or am I just, you know, just out here, just spirited? And I don't even know what that looks like.
You are you.
I'm me still. You okay, that you. And that's really good to know. So then, does your soul, is your soul eternal along with your spirit being eternal? Or is it just, I don't know, I don't know if I'm getting too nerded out on this or.
No, not at all. Yeah, okay. You're so, you are you. So.
And I've been me. So like my personality was associated with me before me, like before I was born.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. God was like, okay, you know, this one's going to be introverted. This one's going to be extroverted. This one is going to, you know, prefer to, you know, build things, and they're going to be an apostle. And this person's going to prefer to, you know, be a people person, a social butterfly. They may be an evangelist, or, you know, so your likes and your dislikes, like that's part of your soul. Mm. It's embedded in you, and you're still going to be you.
And okay, so like, and this is on me, right? So like, I've like a majority of like the information I've learned, unfortunately, not unfortunately, but like, you know, like when you're in church, like a pastor will tell you something that you probably should back up in the Bible, but it's just like, you know, he said it, all
right,
cool.
You take it, right? You take it. You're like,
so,
all right.
So like, when it comes to like, does the Bible say like, yo, there's a soul, there's a spirit, or is this something like, just so like, cause for like, for me, that's what does it for me. Like when I see, I'm like, okay, you know, oh, it's right there. Mm-hmm. So the distinction between soul and spirit, this is broken down in the Bible too. And I'm really pushing your Bible reference game right now, but I know that's going to help a lot of people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let me pull that up. Okay. So if we look at Hebrews 4:12, the word of God says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit." So that right there is an acknowledgement that there's a soul and there's a spirit, and it can divide. It has that ability to.
Perfect breakdown.
"Joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And so we know that we have a body. Like, we know that. And then according to the scripture, God is clearly saying soul and spirit. He makes a distinction between the two. So there's the three.
Broken down. Wow. Okay. So then spiritual warfare, right?
Yes.
So like, and from my perspective, like I come from an African household, right? Mm-hmm. So they lean on so I've heard these breakdowns before.
Yeah,
right?
African spiritual warfare.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, cause like, they'll always, you know, like they'll lean into that. Mm-hmm. So I've heard so many different perspectives of like, you know, like it's like just putting like color to that world. And I guess, like, my perspective right now is, like, okay, like, if I'm just chilling, let's say, like, minding my own business, idle time, and I have a random thought of, like, yo, you know what, you should watch porn right now, or, you know what, you should grab some liquor right now, or, I don't, but my perspective is that thought may not have just randomly been plotted on my head, right. But it could potentially be a thought that, like, is, happens due to like spiritual impression and like the God having his like initiative and the devil also having his.
Yes.
And like is that kind of like enough to know, like as far as like your general everyday people, or is there like talk about it, like how would you define spiritual warfare? Break it down.
Yeah, so like the example that you gave, it can be spiritual warfare. I mean, sometimes it's just you. You want what you want, and that's it. We live in a fallen world.
Yeah,
we're
not perfect. Yeah.
We are people.
100%.
Some of that is I want what I want,
yeah.
And that's that.
Yeah. No, yeah.
But on the flip side, it can be, you know, a thought that's, you know, out the clear blue sky, you know, coming from the devil or the demonic side, to try to trip you up. And so as far as spiritual warfare is concerned, I would define it probably as it can be either seen or unseen, because God fights battles that we know nothing about. Either seen or unseen opposition to the word of God, the purpose of God, or agenda. And it can be like on a micro or a macro level. So if it's on like a personal, you know, micro level, it could be, you know, warfare for you. You're supposed to do X, Y, and Z tomorrow. You know, you get a phone call in the morning that deters you from that, and so that's going against your purpose for the day. Or it could be larger scale, you know, dealing with different agendas or countries, governments, things like that. And so the full spectrum, it's the totality of it. But yeah, I would describe it as that. It's opposition to, you know, purpose, or, you know, God's agenda and what he wants accomplished. It's opposition to, you know, his plans and what he wants accomplished. And so whether we see it or not, a lot of times we feel it. A lot of times we blame warfare on ourselves. We don't realize that we want what we want sometimes. Like, no, that was not the devil. That was you.
Well, then, speaking of, so this is the guy in charge, right? So the devil, Satan, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, we broke down how he's like a fallen angel.
Yes.
Why? I mean, maybe we don't know, but why is he even so bent on like going against God's mission? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on there? Like, what's happening? Is that even something we have answers to?
My answer is he's just delusional. Like, he forgets that the lake of fire is coming. Mm. And sometimes maybe he doesn't forget. And that's why he's trying to grab as many people to come with him as possible. And sometimes with Christians, it's like he knows that he can't. He knows that your soul, your spirit is in the palm of the Lord's hand. He knows he can't pluck it out. But if he can irritate you a little bit, then for him, that's fun. He's ruthless. He doesn't care.
It's interesting, right? Because like the devil, right? It's like in movies, he's painted out to be, you know, sometimes like a real, you know, dangerous looking person. But then it's like he's also a fallen angel. So I'm like, is it really something we should as Christians kind of like be fearful of? Is he like somebody like we should kind of like, you know, like. Be fearful. Worried about like his team, the demons, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? Like,
nah, we should not be fearful at all. We shouldn't be worried. We need to be aware that he's around and that he has tactics that are against you. We do need to have that awareness. But as far as being scared of him, you know, Hollywood sometimes, you know, can depict the devil with like horns and, you know, a tail and a pitchfork, or, you know, this nice looking guy in a 3-piece suit, or a girl with a mini skirt on, you know, that's not always what's going on. But we definitely don't need to be fearful. God says 365 times in his word, do not fear. And part of that is because of what he's given us. He's given us power and authority. You know, the word of God says that Satan should be under our feet. We have power and dominion and authority over him. That's like saying, let's see, what's a good example? That's like saying you have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And you love the baby, and the baby's starting to get their own personality. They can roll over, they can stretch, they might be able to, you know, hold a bottle or feed themselves a little bit. And as the parent, you know, they're not really mobile. There's not much that they can do, but that's like you being scared of the baby.
Oh, wow.
And so we need to understand that Satan, he really is delusional. But outside of that, he does have some power. Like, he might be able to turn over and roll and throw something. But he does not have as much power as we think that he does. He does have some, and we do need to be aware of that, because he is a spirit being. He sees full-blown in the spirit, whereas we do not. We see bits and pieces. He went to hell, and he studied the word of God a lot of time. Well, he knows the word better than most Christians do. So we need to be aware of that. What he does not have, though, is the power that Yeshua gave us. So what he does not have is the ability to be all places at all times. What he does not have is the attributes of God, and that is a good thing for us. We don't need to be fearful of him. We do need to be aware that he exists and that he'll pop up and manifest in different ways. We do need to understand that on the inside of us, we have the whole Holy Ghost on the inside of us. We have enough power. We have everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness to keep our foot on his neck. That doesn't mean that he's not going to kick and scream. Doesn't mean that he's not going to throw a punch and you might feel it. Yeah, that's going to happen. But when we truly understand how much power God has given us, like, that's why he freaked out in heaven. Like, why, who is man? Who, I need to know who these people are. Why are you saying that they are above us? We have to understand who we are. And when we have that revelation and we understand that, it puts things a little bit into perspective. But again, that's not to say that you're not going to feel stuff. It's not to say, you know, that you're not going to experience warfare. It just puts things into perspective. Like, he can do some stuff, but like,
under you can keep foot. Our foot on his neck. That's yeah, right, though. I mean, big. That's right. Yo, stay down there.
Stomp on so, the devil.
So
you say
so we do have authority over.
Absolutely.
Satan, his team, the demons, the whole situation.
A Christian 30 seconds old Word. Has enough power and authority to do that. But because God is so good, he just gave us that.
But I like how, and you talked about this in your class that I sat in, about like understanding his tactics. Because I do think that that's something like that's crucial. Because like one of the tactics you talked about is like he'll challenge like the information you have. Like, you talk about how, like, he's knowledgeable of God's word, and he can then, like, push into, like, essentially saying, did God really say that? And what I like about that is, one, in Genesis with Noah, Adam and Eve, that's basically what he told Eve. Like, I mean, did he really say that you couldn't eat from this fruit? Mm-hmm. And when I think about even my own life, like, especially as a Christian, like, a majority of the time it's like, you know the rules. You know, like, don't do this, don't do that, don't right. do this, don't do that. Sometimes you'll blatantly ignore the rules.
Yeah.
Like, God said, don't do this. You know what? I'm just going to do this.
I'll check with you tomorrow.
I'll check with you
tomorrow. Right now, let me do this.
Yeah, sometimes you know you're just wrong and you know you're wrong. But then sometimes it'll be like, you kind of, like, lawyered your way into, like, convincing yourself that you can. Mm-hmm. Like, but I mean, I know I can't do this, but I might be able to do it. You know, you start negotiating.
Yep.
And I think that resonates with me for sure, because I'm like, when I think of when I've kind of fallen, that's been what it is. Like that lawyer, that back and forth conversation where I get convinced that, you know what, I could probably get away with this. Mm-hmm. God won't really trip if I do this. And then always in hindsight, when you realize that didn't serve you well, it's like, dang, like, right. What was I thinking? I shouldn't have did this.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, I feel you 100%. So like, all right, so spiritual warfare is a real thing. But at the same time, basically what you're saying is, look, like, we don't got to really stress.
We don't have to trip.
We don't got
to
stress at all. We can kind of. So then, all right. So then outside of that one tactic of like, he may try to convince you of like what God said. What are some other tactics? So we can like, when they happen, we can identify them.
Yes. So whenever you experience spiritual warfare, and particularly attacks, on you, on your body, on your soul, on your person, and like you were talking about Legion earlier, they kind of go out in tribes, similarly to the angelic tribes. So one of the amazing things about God that I always try to encourage people to remember is that there's a duality. Satan cannot create anything; all he can do is replicate. So if there's a army in heaven and God has a lot of angels, well, Satan does too. If God has a government, the earth will have a government. If God has this, then there's that, because there's nothing new under the sun. We know that in Ecclesiastes.
Yep.
And so when we like, you know, how can we do this? Satan will come out and he'll be like, you know what? This household is a little bit too powerful. discord. You go bring anxiety and bitterness with you, go into that household and make havoc. And he'll send them out like that in groups to try to, you know, disrupt or to stop the plans, the agendas, the purposes of God on a person, a family, a system, whatever the case may be. And so doubt is one of those, rejection, you know, a lot of those things. And when we talk about, you know, deliverance, and I do deliverance as well, but those are a lot of the things that we see very commonly in people. And so all of that is demonic, and he sends out, that's how he does his little,
baby games.
Yeah. But they don't always feel baby though. Like when you're under, when you're depressed, that doesn't feel like a baby game to you. It's like, I'm in despair. Like I think that I would rather not be here. You know, those, they're not so baby, but at the same time, we have power and authority over that. And so it's important to validate that those things are real. It's not just, you know, like, oh yeah, it's just a little thing. From a warrior perspective, you know, I can sit here and say like, oh yeah, that's a little thing because I know how big my God is. But to the person going through, I also understand and recognize and have been there before. Like, this is a big deal. So it's important to know that. But if you're from the outside looking in and you're interceding, you could be like, resentment, get out. Really?
And I guess you hear it all the time too, like, the devil, Satan, what have you, knows what kind of like will work too, like at the right time. So it's like, maybe there might be a time where throwing anxiety at you may not take you down, but he's analyzing the situation like, all right, you know what? We're gonna hit him with the doubt right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that's literally where you were weak, and that's what, and he's kind of taking advantage of that situation. And I get that, and that resonates with me. What about, so I just have a couple random questions. So like, clearly, like, there's people who like actually like humans who've decided to like be satanic or what, blah 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 blah, and it just makes you wonder, like, do they think that they're about to win this thing? Like, do they I don't know, like, do they feel like they got a chance? Like is this something that, like, you know what I mean, like, what's going on? Like, how are even people getting convinced to even play with that side of things? Like,
I know it's my, I used to have that standpoint too. And to some, it depends on what it is. But my heart has been changed so much towards people that do get into things like, you know, witchcraft or Wicca or just purely satanic thing, because it's like, oh my gosh, like the deception is so strong that they have actually agreed with something like this, when before they were here, they were with him. And so it just breaks my heart seeing those things. But at the same time, people can choose. You can choose to love God, or you can choose to hate him. You can choose to agree with him, or you can choose to disagree. Disagreeing and hating God, it never ends well. But the deception is so massive. Like, some people actually think like, oh, you know what, I have another idea. It's different from this God thing, but maybe it works. And, well, you know, I've gotten success, so it must be working. And, well, they just said I just have to, you know, go to this house and do these things. And it's kind of fun because, I mean, the Bible says sin is pleasurable anyway, so I might as well, you know. So everything seems to be cool, and it's just so much deception. They have, a lot of times, I think most of them don't know. Some of them do know, and they're very clear about that. You know, the devil will show up and make deals with people and say, well, hey, I will give you this record deal if you in turn will do this for me.
I see what you're saying. So it could be potentially short-term wins, pure delusion, maybe based in, like, who knows, like, acceptance, like, gang, people do things just because it's, like, a community behind it.
Yeah.
And then, so I see what you're saying, and, like, I still kind of don't see, like, their end game per se, but even just you mentioning the short-term wins, kind of like, I'm like, all right, well, if you give me some money right now, you give me some success in the realm that I can see, then,
yeah,
like, maybe you are strong and will hold me down for whatever, like, right. So that makes sense to me for sure.
And for me, it's difficult to, the Lord had to deal with me on that, because it's difficult for me to wrap my head around that, because I was raised in church. Like, all I know, I mean, like, the church that I was raised in, like, I feel like I've always known Jesus. Like, who I am today is not how I was raised per se, But, you know, when you have your Christian bubble and all your friends are Christian and everyone knows God, you forget that there's a world that does not know God. So for them, it's simple. It's not difficult or challenging or hard because a lot of them don't have that conviction. And so when you don't have a conviction, or perhaps maybe when you were younger, you went to church, but then, you know, something happened, something trauma entered in, and now your conscience is seared. If your conscience is seared, you don't even feel it.
I see what you're saying. Like, even just like when I think about my own life, before you become a believer, you really are driven by like your fleshy desires. And to be honest, like, who knows where those desires will take you? Like, and it's like, it really is such a different perspective. Like, what drives you, like, changes entirely once you become a believer. And it's like, who, yeah, then once, actually, that point in itself is like, I can easily see somebody, like, just doing something, just not even under, even fully grasping why they're doing it, but just kind of, so I get, that makes sense. So, like, I'm sure that, like, and as a thinker, a lot of people's big, like, making sense of all of this happens where it's like, okay, but why would God even, like, make this even a thing? Why would this even be a thing where it's like, yo, like, there's evil and there's not evil? Like, and it's a huge question, right? Like, you hear people come at this question from so many different perspectives. Mm-hmm. How can God be God and still allow for evil to happen? Or how can, you know, and like, on one end, if we could fully understand God, like, then wouldn't we be God? You know what I mean? So, like, right. I know there's going to be gaps in that, like, this understanding. Right. But where I kind of, like, try to, like, throw, like, make sense of this to a certain degree is, like, when you touched on, and please, correct me if I'm wrong. But where I try to make sense of this is when I tell myself, you know what? If God really gave us the option of choice, like, if God really said, hey, like, I give you the freedom to decide. And we're not just like robots. Like, if we genuinely have the freedom to decide, then there kind of has to be like the ability to kind of like do whatever you want, things that align with what God wants and things that wouldn't, right?
Right.
So, like, you can still dig into that conversation and come up with rebuttals. I don't have all the answers, but I guess, like, that's like, I guess what I at least lean on when I'm like, all right, like, I don't fully understand what's going on, but if we did have the full choice to do whatever, then maybe that option. Well, then that option to be able to do wrong would be there. And maybe the devil's just the conduit that God's using to allow for people to, like, have that full spectrum of, like, decision.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it does boil down to choice. You know, like you said, we're not robots. And choice comes out of love. You know, choice is not, or love does not force. It gives you the option. You can stay or you can walk away. You can love or you cannot. And so when love gives you that freedom and when just there's liberty like that, you can choose undesirable things. It might seem desirable, but in the long run, it might not be. And then you add deception onto that. And then you add camaraderie on top of that. And then you add, I get to drink, I get to smoke, you know, I get to have men, women, da-da-da, you know, whatever, and do all this, and fast cars, and this and that, or I get to be successful, or, like, look at my bank account, or all of this, you know, you might continue to choose success. That way, it's a false success, because it's not coming from God, but you might choose that. I mean, and on the flip side, I know for myself, there are so many times where I chose not to have fun. And stay at home and read the word of God. Like, hey, Kim, let's go out. Let's do this. Let's do that. Like, oh, yeah, I really want to. No, I won't. You know? So just like I could choose not to do fun stuff and spend time with God, you can definitely choose to not spend time with God and do fun stuff. And people just make that choice.
100%. 100%. So then, so I guess, like, yeah, and that resonates well with me, the whole choice thing. And I guess, like, I don't know, like, I think, another thing I'm curious about too is like, you're spending a lot of your energy focused on getting this message to people. Like, hey, look, like, this is important. You guys need to know this. If you had to kind of like summarize, like, what is the driving force behind you doing that? Because it's not easy. Like, it's not easy to set up like weekly classes where it's like, hey, this is what I'm teaching. What would you say is like, your driving reason to do that? So it's like, hey guys, look, like, I'm tired of, like, what? Why are you, you know?
Why am I doing this?
Exactly.
Okay, that's a great question. Number one, if it was up to me, I wouldn't. I honestly wouldn't. Like, Kim would not want to be teaching. I would not be ministering as much as I would. I would not be answering my phone as much as I do. Yeah. Like, Kim would be chilling if it was just me. But my driving force is I have to hear at the end of the day, well done, my good and faithful servant. My good and faithful servant goes beyond salvation. It's, did you do what I told you to do? I'm also scared half to death to disobey God and not do what he said. I've spent a lot of time disobeying God and it never ended well. So same. I'm over it. And I'm sold out at this point. Like, I've done so many things that didn't work out well that it's like, God, what have you told me to do? You're telling me to teach this class? All right, I'm going to teach this class. And then part of it too is as I go, and sometimes I do it begrudgingly, I just have to be honest. I'm like, Lord, oh my God, like, can someone else do this? You know, can a pastor do this? Like, why do I have to, you know, I'm a single mother. I got these kids running around. I work full time. I'm tired. Like, all of this stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
And he's like, no, yeah, you're going to do it. But part of it too, there's so much, you start to feel the heart of the Father, because he really does want all of us to have this information and to have this knowledge. And not only does it make our lives better while we're here on earth, because, I mean, this is temporary. We're not always going to be here. But it helps advance and grow the kingdom. And when I feel the heart of the Father, it's like, why would I not do it? And I actually go from, you know, waking up at 5 a.m., not getting home till 7:30, having 20 minutes with my kids before I have to jump on a Zoom call for the next 2 hours. That keeps me going, knowing that it's the heart of the Father. You know, my children do come first. That is my first ministry. It's right now, Jesus, please don't increase it. But right now it's just one day a week, but it's worth the sacrifice, because people are out here getting attacked and not knowing what to do, not even knowing that they can fight. People are tolerating stuff that they don't need to tolerate. People are getting just completely destroyed because they lack knowledge. And it's like, I don't want to see people that I know go through that. I want them to at least have the tools to fight for themselves. I want them to at least have the tools to be able to say, you know what? Okay, wait a minute. And then we link together. Like, I might be toe up one day and need y'all to pray and intercede for me. So we're going to talk about this strategy. Yeah. We're going to get this all out, and we're going to advance the kingdom of God together. And then I teach one, and then they can teach another. And I think that that's really the driving force behind it, is really wanting to see the kingdom of God advanced. Whatever my part is whatever my part. I'm scared half to death now to disobey God, and just deal with whatever comes with it. You know, warfare for me personally comes with it, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. But
I can imagine.
It's worth it.
Man, I love it though. Like, just like a person. So I remember, like, cause I told you, like, my parents are African. So, like, I would hear these type of, like, weird stories all the time. Not weird, but it's just hard to grasp. So, like, there was a time where, like, I would literally, like, be in my room. And I remember I would just be like, whoa, I wonder if the demons are on the other side of the door. And I'm growing, like, I'm in high school, you know, but I'm still like, whoa. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I love the fact that you say, yo, we don't got to be scared of this. It's just being aware of it so that you can kind of move correctly. And I like that too. And it's you really are taking on one of the bigger challenges, because it's like, it's easy to say, you know, God, Jesus. But then when you talk about the Spirit, it makes the portions that you really don't understand, like the focus, like and it's like, just shout out to you. You know what I mean? Shout out to you for, like, really.
Praise God.
You know what I mean? Focus, like, really. Because it's like, in my opinion, I would think it's probably the toughest thing for people to, like, internalize. Mm-hmm. Because there's, like, at least when we hear about Jesus, at least he was here in physical form. Right. In a point where we can kind of, like, resonate with. And the Spirit stuff is like, man, like, whoa. But it is, if you can't accept, you can't take the Bible, like, certain pages and not take all the pages. And what you're talking about is mentioned all throughout it. So we should be aware of it. We should know kind of like how to manage it. So, like, do you think that there's anything else that we like, there's your class that, like, if you need to get the full breakdown. And if you're okay with, I actually would love to, like, maybe even put that information, like,
sure,
in the pod. But like, outside of that, like, just on, like, a high level, like, do you feel like we touched on everything? Do you feel like there's anything that, like, I don't know, like it's just like fundamental to like this whole conversation that we missed out on, or I'm just trying to make sure.
Let me think here. I would say that going back to Genesis 1, being in the image of God, with us being a three-part being, with our spirit being an impression of God, when you hear crazy off-the-wall stuff, like a lot of the revelation that I might say or might share, your spirit man instantly will bear witness with that. And it'll become interested and it'll draw to it because it's familiar. Your soul will be the portion that's like, I don't know about that. So if your spirit is jumping and excited, know that it's bearing witness with truth. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be a right now jumping with excitement, but it might be later on. You know, the Holy Ghost might bring it up like, hey, remember that one time you heard that one thing? And so if it seems crazy and you can't wrap around it, your head around it, it's okay, because the truth has been spoken. It's out in the atmosphere. It's my job to throw it out there. The Holy Spirit's just going to come behind me and, you know, water that seed and confirm. And we'll, you know, I could be planting a seed for someone today that might grow and develop 10 years from now. So understand that your spirit, since it is seated in heavenly places and it is the essence of perfection as an impression of Christ Jesus, that when you hear crazy stuff, whether it's myself or anyone else, because yes, all the prophets are crazy, like we all go through that and we have our own warfare too, but nothing's lost. Nothing's lost. When it comes down to the truth, nothing is lost. And so I would just encourage people, if it went over your head, good, because the Holy Ghost will bring it back. He said in his word that he would bring all things back to your remembrance. So it might be 6 months down the line, tomorrow, 3 years down the line, that you might all of a sudden be interested in something that was said or something that you heard. And so just be encouraged by all of it. Let your mind be blown. Put it on a shelf if you need to. Like, that's too much for me right now. But the truth is gonna stand.
100%.